I was just in Eretz Yisrael for a week together with Rabbi Twersky and Rabbi Rosenzweig to give the Bechinas for the Masmidim program. And when we were asking the questions to half of the boys, instead of answering the questions, they were giving us pilpulim. So I'd like to discuss a little bit exactly what learning Torah is all about. In this week's parsha, it says Psolocho Shnei Lachos Avanim Karish Anim. So the Gemara says in the Dorm that Moshe Rabbeinu was a wealthy man. He had Ashiras, and he got his Ashiras from Psolocho Psolt and Shalcho Tehei. The Baruch Shalom told him when he carves out the Luchas, he can keep the leftover stone, and it was valuable stone. Then the Gemara also says, when the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ksav luchos hadvarim ha'ele," also in today's Sedra, "Ki api hadvarim ha'ele karati et chabrisu es Yisrael," so the Rabban Shalom meant, "Ksav lucho shalcho tehei," that the Torah is given to you. You don't have to share it with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara asked, that's ridiculous. There's so many psukim and chumash. It says, "Befeish, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to tell over all the dinim to Bnei Yisrael." So the Gemara finally explains what the Amorai meant was, "Pilpulo shel Torah." The original plan was that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to give over to Bnei Yisrael the mitzvahs, the Taryag mitzvahs, and the details of every mitzvah, and he has to teach it to Bnei Yisrael, so they should get everything straight. He has to chazer it, not just tell it once. He has to teach them kishulchan oruch lifneihem. But the whole hezber, is it a chepta, is it a garba, is it a malos, is it a superman, is it a bird, is it a plane, what it is. This was originally, the original plan was that this is going to be for Moshe Vizara. He has a right to keep that and transmit it to his children. He doesn't have to give it to the rest of the Kali. So that was originally not the part of the original plan of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah was to know all of the Taryag mitzvahs and to know all of the details, all of prote protim. And to understand why the din should be like that, and how to be kaveh the din, if a new case comes up, that was originally only supposed to be for Moshe Rabbeinu and for his descendants. Moshe Rabbeinu was a good-hearted fellow. He was kind-hearted. He was a Tovayin. So Tovayin hu yivarech, he deserves a big yashivarech, and he gave us this too. But this is really the icing on top of the cake, that's the second dessert. The main course, the main meal is the meat and potatoes, the main Iker Talmud Torah. Is to learn all the dinim, to know all of what are the Taryag mitzvahs and what are all of the details of the Taryag mitzvahs. You look in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, so the Hakdomah to the Mishnah Torah is the Sefer HaMitzvahs, believe it or not. The Chasam Sofer complained about the fact that the printers wanted to make more money, so when they printed the Sefer HaMitzvahs during his lifetime, with the Ramban, with the Megillas Esther, with the Leib Samech, with the Kinas Sofrim, so they wanted to make more money, so they printed it as a separate volume. They no longer printed it as the Hakdamah to the Sefer, to the Mishnah Torah. So he says, what a shot, what a loss. The Lomdim stopped using it because it cost extra money. So they only had a Rambam, they only had the Mishnah Torah. They didn't have the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Sefer HaMitzvahs is the introduction to the whole Mishnah Torah. The Rambam gives you a listing of all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Then he gives you the Kitzur that we have in our editions of the Mishnah Torah also. The Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Kitzura. And then every section in the Rambam, he says, this is going to be Hilchas Shabbos. It's going to have 15 mitzvahs, so many mitzvahs sesei, so many mitzvahs loy sesei. This is going to be Hilchas Yontif, this is going to be Hilchas Yom Kippur, this is going to be Hilchas Minim Masaf, and this is going to be Hilchas Psuli Amadoshim. And the introduction to every section tells you how many mitzvahs there are. And then when you get to the end, he says, now you know all the 613 mitzvahs. And now you know all there is to know. What is there that all there is to know? The mitzvah of Liman HaTorah is not to sharpen your mind. In order to understand the ins and the outs, in order to understand, well, what the halacha and why the halacha is so, and how to apply the halacha in a new case, if a new shaila is going to come up, so you have to understand all of these, all the fancy hakiras and so on and so forth. But that's not the ikar of Talmud Torah. The ikar of Talmud Torah is what the original plan was, that we should know what the Taryag mitzvahs are, and to know all of the details of the Taryag mitzvahs. When you learn a din, when you learn, the ikar in learning is, you have to learn a mishnah, and see, what does Rav Meir say? What does Rav Yudah say? What are they fighting about? What does Rav Meir say? Eidim Mesira, Eidim Chesim Karsa. What does Rav Loza say? Eidim Mesira Karsa. What are they fighting about? What case? What's the difference, halacha l'maisa? Then you have to try to figure out from the Gemara quickly, how do we paskin? 1, 2, 3. You know, if you're learning Gemara, you have to spend that much time. If you're learning Shulchan Aruch, you have to spend more time on how to figure out what the Pesach halacha is. If you're learning Gemara, you go quickly, but it's a real waste of time. A lot of people, they study Gemara, then if you ask a Shal HaLacha Maisa, they're totally lost. They don't have the foggiest notion of what they just tell you, everything is a machlekes. Das heißt nicht gelernt. That's not learning. Learning is you have to learn. The ikar of learning, the Gemara says, Lasuki shmaitza libe de hilchasa. You have to know what's the maskana, what's the din. Din is like Rab Meir. Machlag is Rab Meir Rab Loza. Din is like Rab Loza. Excuse me. Din is like Rab Loza. Not like Rab Meir. When you learn, you always have to ask. The first question you have to ask, if you look in the Mishnah Brura, he always quotes from the Prima Gaudim. The first question the Prima Gaudim always asks is this a din d'oraisa, this a din d'rabbanan? Every single sif in Shulchan Aruch he asks. You have to do the Yibud Ushma, is that the d'oraisa d'rabbanan? You have to do this, is that the d'oraisa d'rabbanan? Everything, that's important to know. Every single din, is it d'oraisa or is it d'rabbanan? And if it's d'oraisa, what's the makor in the Chumash? A din d'oraisa, is it a svara? Once in a while the Gemara says you don't need a pasuk, it's a svara. But that's very rare. Svaris, you can always dingzach, asvarahina, asvarahe. Best to have a pasuk. And it's important to know what the pasuk is. If the din d'oraisa is learned out from pasuk A, so it sounds like it's this kind of a din, it's learned out from pasuk B, it may indicate that it's a different kind of a din. You have to ascertain if it's a din d'rabbanon, what is the din d'rabbanon based on? Called the tikkun rabbanon kein d'oraisa tikkun. The Gemara will sometimes derive from dinim d'rabbanon. The Gemara will establish what was the din d'oraisa before the Chachamim introduced it in the Rabban. The Gemara in the second parak in Bava Basri, Rabbi Chana Vassaman points it out. The Gemara establishes a din d'oraisa by quoting a din d'rabbanon of Karpath. How can you prove from a din d'rabbanon what the din d'oraisa is? Because the Amoraim assumed when the Tanoim introduced the din d'rabbanon, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the d'oraisa Tikkun. You can't just invent a din d'rabbanon from thin air. The building blocks of halacha have to be concepts that exist on the level of d'oraisa. You have to use terminology that the Tanoim used. You can't make up your own terminology. You can't make up your own concepts. Every discipline has its own self-contained logic. You can't use logic from chemistry, and you can't use logic from physics, and you can't use logic from biology. You have to use Talmudic logic. Talmudic logic has its own terminology. Chefetz and Gabra appears in the Gemara. If it wouldn't appear in the Gemara, we wouldn't use that distinction either. Martin the Dharm talks about the nether is an Issa Chevetz and Shlu is an Issa Gavra. You have to use concepts that appear in the Gemara. The building blocks of halacha are always concepts that exist on the level of their Issa. The Iker in learning is to establish all of the details of the halacha. What is the halacha in this case? What's the halacha in that case? How does Rashi learn? What does Tosis learn? What's the din? In each case, what's the din? And then you try to understand why does Rashi say the din should be so? Why did Tosafot say the din should be said? The main thing is to establish the din. A lot of times you'll have identical concepts appear in different mesichtes or in different sugis in the same mesichta in different languages. That's already a derech in learning. In order to understand why is the din like this over here, so a lot of times you have five places, you have five different dinim. And the Lushan, the language that the Gemara uses is not identical. And nonetheless, it's really a repeat of the exact same concept. And a lot of times they'll have in the Gemara the exact same terminology, and it doesn't mean the same thing in the different places. The Baal HaMor wrote Hasogas on the Rif, the Mor HaKotan. Baal HaMor lived in Lunel, that means the moon, so he called the name of his Sefer HaMor HaKotan. Until he got to Baal HaKama, he says you can't understand the Zikin with the light of the moon, you have to have the light of the sun. So this name of the Sefer changed when it comes to the Zikin, it's called HaMor HaGodol. Until Nezikin is called Hamor HaKotan. So the Baal HaMor has all of his hasogas against the Rif. Here and there he disagrees with the psokim of the Rif. So then at the end of Chulin, he has like a summary of many of the hasogas that he has, and he calls it the Sefer HaTzovah. The printers didn't include it in the Sefer HaMor, but we have Mohammed. The Mohammed wrote on the Sefer HaTzovah as well. It's printed in the back of the Tmim Dayan. Have all of the he writes a shtick, he writes a gimmick. They're just like the Yudgin Alinish, alternate Reshes Bam, how to read in between the lines of the Torah Shebichsav to figure out all the details of the halacha. So too, there were Yudgin Alinish in the area of the Torah Shebichsav. So one of his midas is that a lot of times in the Gemara you have the exact same expression, Evidibri Gufa Kona, appears in different places, but it has a different meaning. A lot of times you have totally different expressions, totally different language, but it means the exact same thing. I remember we were learning the first daf when I entered Rav Soloveitchik Shir. So he was learning then the beginning of Sanhedrin. So the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin distinguishes between Zeilus v'Chavolus on the one hand and Hoidos v'Halvolus on the other hand. So he wanted to know what's the difference al pi halach between Zeilus v'Chavolus as opposed to Hoidos v'Halvolus. Where do you have anywhere in the halacha that there's a difference? So he gave a definition. Not all the Rabbanim agreed with him. I remember Amendel Zaks was upset. He didn't think that it was Amendel Zaks was the son-in-law of Chofetz Chaim. He gave Shua Meradim during the lifetime of the Chofetz Chaim. So he was the Bochen in the yeshiva when I was in high school. So he didn't agree with Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik thought, what's the definition of Zelus HaChavos as opposed to Hados HaChavos? So he thought that Zelus HaChavos means the chiv that the Torah imposes on me, and Hados HaChavos means the hischavis midas that I accept upon myself. The two different categories, we understand all around the two different types of chiyuvim. Does the halacha ever distinguish between them? Do we have a right to say that that's the definition of zelos achavolas, as opposed to hadras lavas? Rav Soloveitchik dug up a meiri. Someone just told me that the daf yomi is learning about the kama daf ayin today or yesterday, and he told me about meiri today that you only say meiri interprets in the gemara that you only say kam lebe derabine by chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes. If it's a hischayvus midas, so then you don't apply Pamblei B'Dirabnei. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted that Meiri. So he said, you see, according to the Meiri, the Gemara says that there's a difference in Halacha. Then he quoted other sources, the Tosfos in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Gimel, quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, interprets in the Gemara like that, a difference in Halacha between a Milva HaKzuvah B'Torah as opposed to Milva Sheinik Zuvah B'Torah. Milva Sheinik Zuvah B'Torah means a Hischayvus Midas. So if the Gemara says that there's such a distinction, we know on our own, common sense dictates the two different types of chiyuv and mamon. One is a hischayvus midas, and one is a shibud that the Torah imposes. But if the Gemara doesn't draw the distinction, you have no right to say that there's a difference. Stam tikvetch asvara. So the Gemara says such a difference, halacha lemaisa. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, that's what it means over here. That's a building block of halacha, that you see in the Gemara sometimes, that there's a difference in din between a hischayvus mamon that you accept upon yourself as opposed to a chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes. So he understood that that's the difference between zelus v'chavolos and hados v'halvos. I remember we were learning, I think it may have been in the same shiur, the first shiur on Sanhedrin. So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin draws a distinction between din mamonis and din nefashis. Din nefashis is done by yom begomer by yom, and din mamonis is done by yom begomer by laila. As long as the tchilas din is in the daytime, he cannot have a kviyas yeshivas bezin balayla. He cannot be mekabel gerim balayla. He cannot do chalitza balayla. The Mishnah said because chalitza needs a bezin, and gerus needs a bezin, and you cannot have a kviyas yeshivas bezin balayla. But in dinim mamonis, the halacha says it's done in bayom, it's done in balayla. As long as the tchilas yeshivas bezin was bayom, you can finish the gemar din balayla. Rav Soloveitchik was interpreting that that's what it means. He said, how do we know that we have a right to distinguish? Where do you ever have a difference in halacha between tchilas yeshivas bezin, as opposed to the case where the bezin already was nikva, and then since the nikva already, so then you can continue to function after the kviyas yeshivas bezin. So he quoted a gemara in the middle of Bav Metzia, the end of Perek HaZahav. The gemara says you cannot begin a din Torah if the amount of money that the fellow is claiming, the taveh is claiming, less than the shavah pruta. But what happens if they did it? If yoshval shavah pruta, if the bezin convened to be done an amount of a shavah pruta, and then the Taveh has another taina. Not only does he owe me $10, he also has my needle or my pin, and they sell 20 pins for a penny. So the pin is worth a 20th of a penny, which is clearly less than a shavah pruta. But he has my pin. I want back my pin. He's a ganav. So the Gemara says you cannot make a tchilas yeshivas bezin on an amount of pachas m'shavah pruta, but if his chila lodon on a shavah pruta, then you can continue the din Torah even on an amount of a pachas m'shavah pruta. So he said, you see from the halacha that the halacha distinguishes between a tchilas yeshivas bezin as opposed to a case where the yeshivas bezin began already and you're going to continue to paskin on other things. So he said that's the pshat and the difference between dana by yom and gama v'alai, that the tchilas yeshivas bezin has to take place by yom. When you want to say a svara l'chalek, that's what they quote from Rav Reuven Denneburger. Rav Kook picked up a lot of learning from Rav Reuven Denneburger, who's one of the great goyim before the Second World War. So his policy was, you can't say a svara unless it's either mefurish in the Gemara or kemat mefurish in the Gemara. Stop to come up with naya svaras, you have no right to. It's like applying a concept from mathematics into halacha, applying a concept from biology into halacha. You have to use halachic concepts to build an halacha. So you have to prove that this is a halachic concept. Where does the Gemara say that such a concept exists? So you have to have, the Gemara says that there's a difference between an Issa Chavtz and Issa Gavra. And the Gemara has many differences between Neder and Shvu because of the fact that Neder is an Issa Chavtz and Shvu is an Issa Gavra. So the Gemara distinguishes between the two. So the Gemara distinguishes, so we apply this idea to other areas of halacha as well. We discuss, is it a Din Chavtz, is it a Din Gavra? But if the Gemara wouldn't make such a distinction, we probably would not say on our own. You have to find the Gemara has these distinctions. I remember we were learning We were learning the dinim of hafrashas trumas and maisris. So the Gemara says that it's forbidden with the rabbanon to eat tevel before rias pnei abayis. When atar the isa to eat tevel and the chiyuv to be mafresh trumas maisris only if you had first miruach and then rias pnei abayis. So then there's an isa to eat tevel. With the rabbanon, they made a chumrah that even if you didn't yet have the rias pnei abayis, if you're going to eat the tevel achilas keva, so then it's also, you have to be mafresh trumas maisris. What's considered achilas keva? So the Gemara says, either you eat a ton of it, you eat a lot of food, or you eat on Shabbos even a little nibble, or you cook it, bishul is kaveh, if you salted melech is kaveh, if you bought it, mekech is kaveh, 6-7 different things that are kaveh. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, mazeh, where do you find in halacha a difference between achilas keva and in macholas asuras? Where do you find a difference between achilas keva and achilas haroi? Let's say, basa b'cholav derabbanan. Basa b'cholav derai says there's no difference. Basa b'cholav derabbanan, if you cook chicken and milk, there's a difference between achilas keva and achilas arai. Gid anosh is an isa derai, so shumar agid is an isa derabbanan. You ever find a difference in shumar agid between achilas keva and achilas arai? Mazeh, why did they make such a difference over here? That by the tevel derabbanan, which is an isa derabbanan, makes a difference achilas keva and achilas arai. So he said it must be that this din derabbanan reflects something about the nature of the din deraisa, that on the level of deraisa, the reason why it's only us to eat tevel after miruach and rias pnei abayis, because whatever you eat after miruach and rias pnei abayis, that's called achilas keva. That's the definition of the isa tevel deraisa. That's where they got the din derabbanan. The din derabbanan was called the tikkun rabbanan, came deraisa tikkun. So we thought that this was a fantastic chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik. Then we looked around a little bit and we found the Raman and Perush HaMishnayos, right? It's like that the famous that the Issa deraisa of eating achilas tevel is only achilas keva. That's exactly why you have to have first miruach and rias pnei abayis. It's very important. Whenever you're learning, you always have to get straight what are the dinim, and then you have to get straight, is this, that's the first question you have to ask, is this din a din deraisa or is it a din derabbanan? If it's a din deraisa, what pasuk is it learned out from? Or the fact that it's learned out from this pasuk or that pasuk, what does it indicate about the nature of the din? And if it's a din derabbanan, where's the called the tikkun rabbanan came deraisa tikkun? What is it patterned after? This was a recurrent theme in the shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik. It wasn't just his favorite idea. This is important in learning Gemara. This is fundamental. Many people think that by saying svaras, by inventing shvera rambams, by saying svaras tefaren for the sheram, is this is the pinnacle of learning. That's not the pinnacle of learning. The most important part of learning, the Gemara says, is lasukish maitza liba de hilchus, to know what it says. What it says in the Mishnah is, what's the din? Is it a Mishnah? Is it a Gemara? Is it a Rishon? Is it an Akron? You ask a question, what's the din? They tell me it's a machlekes. Yeah, usually it is a machlekes. You have to say, machlekes who? Machlekes tanoim, a machlekes samaroim, a machlekes rishonim, a machlekes achreinim. Who is it a machlekes? You have to have your bearings, you have to have. It's the ikir of learning. We were very upset this year and last year about the fact that when we gave the Bechinas in Eretz Yisrael, many of the boys were saying pilpulim, and they felt frustrated that we didn't give them a chance to say the pilpulim. They thought that the main thing of learning is to give an answer to the question. There's a lot more to say, but not tonight. Thank you.